Yesterday on Right to Real Love Radio, the number one relationship podcast for Christians that will make you happier and smarter.
What may seem small to us is always big to God because obedience is tied to it. And whenever being obedient to God is tied to something, it's always big. Because you can be obedient 99% of the time and have that 1% of disobedience. And guess what? It equals 100% disobedience to God. Like, that is just how important being obedient to God is.
Now, let's get back into the discussion.
What just came to mind is what you were talking about. Our words, whether we're typing them, whether we're verbally saying them, we have to be so mindful because, like you said, they can either inspire people or infect people. Like, we want to make sure that our words are not being infectious to ourselves or others. And it reminds me of a book that, you know, man, this is a book that I've started to recommend on a podcast more often than I'm starting to realize. But Dr. Emerson Eggerich's latest book is called Before You Hit Send. Ever since reading that book, it has changed my perspective when it comes to things that I post on social media, how I respond to emails, and even how I talk to people verbally, either over the phone or, you know, in person. It's something that is just so powerful. I've always been somebody that's kind of been careful with my words, not really one to be loose with sharing my opinion. I think we all have opinions on things. Some people have the tendency to want to share their opinions more often than others. I tend to be on the other end of the spectrum where I tend to keep it to myself. And that is beneficial, you know, because we know how dangerous a tweet can be. There's been plenty of athletes, celebrities, people that have got in trouble just from sending something that was 140 characters or less. So we know the impact and the power of our words. Even the word of God tells us that life and death is in the power of our tongue. So we have to be so mindful, not only what we're saying verbally, but also what we're writing. And the point that I wanted to make, this book gives us 4 questions to filter everything that we say and write through before we press in, as the book says. So the first question that we should always ask is it true? In most cases, what we're going to say is often true, unless we have the tendency to be liars. Secondly, the question that we are to ask ourselves is what we're saying kind? Now, this is where for some people, you know, the filter may not hold up because what you're about to say, who you're about to respond to, you may not be about to do it in kindness. The second filter to me has been the one that has had the greatest impact on me, Calvin, which is it necessary? You know, sometimes what we're about to say, it is true and we're saying it in a kind way. But is it really necessary for me to share it right now at this moment with these people in these circumstances? When we start to really stop and ask ourselves, is it necessary for me to say this? Man, I've learned that a lot of stuff that I was going to say, it was eliminated right there. And then if you make it through that filter, the fourth question and the final one to ask yourself is it clear? Meaning how you have communicated, written, or spoken this message, is it clearly conveyed? Is the person going to be able to understand precisely what you're saying? So to me, it's been so helpful to run things that I say and type through that filter.
Yeah, it's definitely necessary. The filter is a huge thing.
Yes, sir.
It's a huge thing. And, you know, it's one of the reasons why I find myself, you know, deleting an entire post that I was ready to put up or an entire comment that may have been like 3 to 4 or 5 or 6 paragraphs long, just because I felt passionate about what someone said and I had to get my opinion out there. Mm-hmm. And it's just like one of those things. Do I really want to open myself up to whatever may come my way, positive or negative? Mm-hmm. So I just quickly hit delete and just walk away from it and just say, you know what, maybe I just needed to type it out to get it out of my system, but it wasn't necessary for me to share it with other people.
Precisely. I think that's what more people should do. Like, they should have, instead of like a Twitter feed, like open up your note-taking device on your phone and just write all of the tweets that you want to tweet to the world, write them there. Because here's what people tend to, I guess, forget or just are unaware of is the fact that as opinionated as you are, there are going to be people that are going to be just as opinionated about what you have to say. So that's the one thing that most people don't take in consideration. They hear something that is said by another person or done by another person, and they're quick to hop on Facebook or hop on Twitter and say, let me share my thoughts on this. But quickly to do that is going to lead to you not taking the time to ask yourself, how is this going to impact the people that are going to read it?
Right.
Most people are going to have something to say about what you had to say. And then if you're not careful, if you are a very reactive person, you're going to find yourself going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. They say something, you say something. They say something, you say something. Oh, then somebody else join in. Then you got to say something back to them. And next thing you know, you done lost about an hour of your life. And it's like, was it really necessary? And right. Oftentimes it's not.
Right. You break a sweat, get all pissed off. You know? It's just like, this is pointless at the end of the day.
Yeah. I think this is another one of those things where people can exercise, maybe not the full 24-hour rule, but I would say at least an hour. Right. If you feeling something, like you heated right now, like you heard something in the news or you saw something or somebody said something or you read something and you're ready to hop on Twitter or you're ready to hop on Facebook and, you know, just air out how you feel about it, I would say air it out in your notepad. On the note-taking device, your Evernote, your OneNote, whatever you use, anything other than the Twitter or the Facebook. And right. I want you to just wait an hour. Come back. Hopefully you have cooled off by then. If not, you know, we need to extend the period to when you have cooled off, where this is behind you. You come back and read it and ask yourself those three questions that I gave before. Is what I'm saying true? Is what I'm saying kind? Is it necessary? And is it clear? And if it passes that necessary filter, then go ahead, by all means, post it. But if you get held up on one of those filters, then I would just say, man, God just save you.
Yeah.
From yourself.
Exactly.
Oh, man. So I think that's a perfect segue back to what we talk about. God saving us, God speaking to us. Let's get back into it. Okay. So one of the things that we've already have put out there, Calvin, you let us know off rip that, you know, a lot of people, they truly believe that it's possible to hear God's voice. People want to hear God's voice. I'm curious, why do you tend to think we have this, I would even say, innate desire to hear the voice of God?
Honestly, I think people want to do what's right. And one of those things with wanting to do what's right is wanting to hear God's voice, you know, because God is going to direct us in the path that we ordinarily, as a human being, because Adam and Eve bit the apple, would not go down that particular path.
Mm-hmm.
With that, I think people want and have like a hunger and a desire on the inside of them to hear from God because they just want to do the right thing. That free will thing kicks in and you have the ability to do whatever you want after that once you utilize your free will. And I have to go back to myself. You know, I look for God's voice more often now than not. Simply because I want to do what's right. I'm making it a positive choice and I'm making a positive effort to do what's right. And the reason I'm doing that is because I want things to happen in my life and I want great things to happen in my life. So that way I can be of service and of help to other people and give them my true and real life examples of, hey, because I did what was right and through God's direction, this is what came from that. With that, I had that positive influence on those individuals. And, you know, to be a walking testimony is a huge thing because a lot of times people see you and they want to know, wow, something is something different about you. You have this glow about you. What is it? And they want that. And you can be infectious in areas like that because people are, like I said before, people are always watching you. And if you have the testimony to speak and talk about the things that God has directed you on and down the paths that God has directed you down, people will say, you know what, maybe I should give that a shot. The first thing is, you know, taking the time to truly humble yourself, start to diminish your ego and try to lose your ego and truly sit and be patient and listen for God's voice and follow the steps that God sends your way. That's one of the biggest things. And, you know, really being patient, too, because sometimes you may not hear from God when you want to, you know, and just like they say, you know, God is never late. He's always on time. But situations come up where we're in a rush. We want things to happen now. And it's just like, God, where are you? I prayed about this, you know, like God is some magic, like some type of genie in the bottle. You rub it and he appears and he's like, okay, snap, there you go. You have what you want. No, that's not the case. Sometimes we run into situations where God wants us to experience certain things so that way we learn the lessons that we need to learn in order to be that positive influence on other people and for ourselves.
What's cracking, Rail Lovers? We're going to take a quick break because I want to share some love by letting you know about another amazing podcast that I truly believe will be edifying to you guys if you take the time to listen to it. Now, this is a podcast that I highly recommend if you are a fan of our Men Chat series. This podcast is hosted by none other than my man, Dr. Joe Martin. Oh my goodness, he's been a guest here on the Right to Rail Love Radio podcast, and he drops so many golden nuggets. He invited me to be a guest on his show, which is the Real Men Connect podcast. I definitely encourage you guys to go check it out. Each week you get 2 episodes. He drops some golden nuggets on you. He has guests on the podcast each week that dive into topics that are related to men. But ladies, trust and believe, you can get some value from the things that are shared as well. And I just want to encourage you guys to go add the Real Men Connect podcast to your podcast listening repertoire. You will definitely enjoy it. And if you like, I encourage you to also check out the website, realmenconnect.com. Real lovers, I hope that you will go show my man Dr. Martin some love. But right now, we're getting back into our discussion, y'all. Now, when we look at the desire to hear God's voice, as we've stated, it's something that a lot of people have. And I'm sure everybody that pressed the play button today has that same desire. They're like, I want to hear. I want to discern God's voice. When we kind of peel back and look at it from a surface level, where do you think that desire comes from?
I definitely think it comes from the heart, because our brains tend to go in so many different directions. And one thing about a person's heart is it's pure. You know, I think having a pure heart gives you the opportunity and opens yourself up to hear God's voice. Once you take the opportunity to really follow your heart's desires, outside of that, like really, you know, there are things that can go wrong, but sometimes what can go wrong if you follow your heart's desires? Your brain operates in different areas of life, and, you know, just based on things that you think you know, things that you see, you know, you get the visual aspect that comes into play. And it's just like one of those things like, well, I saw somebody have this particular thing happen in their lives. I want that same thing, or I want something similar to that. And really, that may not be what's in alignment for you. You take the time to sit back and you listen to yourself and you take the time to say, OK, what's purely on my heart? What are my desires? What do I want God to where do I want God to bless my life? How can those things happen? It's just really taking a backseat to yourself and following the direction that God gives you.
That's a good point. You know, when I think about that desire and where it comes from, one of the things that comes to mind to me is looking at the Holy Spirit, especially if we have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and we know that the Holy Spirit does indwell us. I think it's almost a remnant of what was, I guess you could say, lost in the garden, which was that intimate, direct communication with God. It was something that was natural. It was something that was consistent. It was something that wasn't foreign. It wasn't something that was difficult. And I think that there is something within our spirits that remembers that, that remembers a time before we even were on the earth as individuals who we are listening to this podcast in this generation. But our spirit, which has come from God, understands that, yo, there was something better here. There was something that you used to hear on a continuous basis. And I want that. And that's the beautiful thing about having a spirit that has been renewed by accepting Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, is because that desire is there. It really is there. Whether people are able to acknowledge it or willing to acknowledge it, is there. If you've accepted him, your spirit is crying out. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that everybody is going to hear the cry and answer that cry, because the spirit is just like our body. It needs to be fed. And when we're not feeding our spirit through spiritual disciplines, such as reading or studying the word of God, through praise and worship, through prayer, you know, just to name a few, then it's very difficult for us to have that desire, that hunger, or that thirst, as Jesus referred to, for righteousness to rise up in us. And without having that thirst, without having that desire, it's going to be very difficult, I truly believe, for a person to come to a place where they're like, yo, I want to hear the voice of God. As Calvin stated, I want to know what the right things for me to do are. And I think that when you start to recognize that there's a desire within you to hear the voice of God, to do the right things, to live in a way that is pleasing to God in accordance to his will and his word, it's a sign that, yo, you're walking in the right direction and you have a true desire for what God desires, which is a relationship with him.
Right. Yeah. It that reminds me of the saying, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. And, you know, I found myself in that state. Wow. Probably it was a few months ago. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of the things that I had to learn how to do was to quiet the noise in my head in order to hear God. Again, sometimes it's still difficult for me to do. But when I took the time and I actually sat and I quieted and I finally was able to quiet the noise in my head, I heard God tell me that I need to exercise my faith in him and not in man. And once I did that, I found peace. Mm. And it was peace within myself, peace within man. You know, situations come up every day and, you know, you find yourself to be anxious. And I was like, you know what? I'm tired of feeling anxious. I'm just going to start to slow things down and I'm going to just, you know, take my time, listen for God's voice, do my best to follow the direction that he gives me. And I've been doing really well with it. You know, there were some times it came up where I failed, but for the most part, ever since then, like every day, I've been happy and I smile and I laugh a lot more. You know, I have fun throughout each day. You know, situations come up where, you know, I feel like I'm truly living because my expectations are no longer in man and no longer in myself, because they often disappoint us. We often disappoint ourselves. You know, I got to a point where I was tired of disappointing myself. And I said, you know what, I'm just going to give it up to God. Just put my faith in God 100%. And, you know, situations that you feel, you know, maybe you didn't have trust in certain things. You know what, let me give that to God. Let God handle that for me, because I am not equipped to handle those particular things, because my emotions may kick in and I may take control of over those situations and press buttons that I don't need to press, you know, walk down certain streets I don't need to walk down, say certain things I don't need to say, do certain things I don't need to do. And it's just like, let me give this to God and I'm gonna let God handle that, because this is actually bigger than me. I can't handle this. I will struggle if I try to handle this myself. I'm gonna let God take that, and I'm gonna go over here and focus on the things that God told me to focus on and move forward and press forward in my life. At that point, you know, favor was increased in my life. You know, certain things started happening for me because I gave my faith over to God and I operate under God's, you know, God's direction. And it's just amazing to me because, you know, when I go back to talking about being happy, happy as I am over these last few months, I can't remember in my entire adult life at this point, or even in my teenage life, being this happy.
Wow.
When my mom and dad were married, they divorced when I was 7, and I'm 41, I'll be 42 in December. I was happy back then when my mom and dad was together. And since then, like from that time period up until 7, up until a few months ago, still being 41, it's just like, man, I was really in a low state. Wow. Thinking I had happiness, but now once I gave my faith over to God and I truly listen to him and follow his direction, now I know what happiness is again. And that time frame that I was in, 7 to 41, it was like lost, just lost. And I'm talking about, you know, I'm from born and raised in Philadelphia, where there's a lot of stone-faced people walking around looking mad all the time. And they may not necessarily be mad. It's just their natural look because of the environment that they're in. But now I walk around smiling, laughing at everything that That's I could possibly good. Laugh about, crack jokes as much as I can. You know, naturally, I'm a silly person, but I'm even sillier now that I've truly found happiness and I'm following God.
Wow, man, that's the joy of Christ, man. It's part of the fruit of the Spirit. And it's wonderful to just hear how God has brought you back to that place. And as you stated, it's a result of turning your attention and your focus back to him. And oftentimes, I think many of the things that we desire in life elude us because our desires aren't prioritized correctly. We desire a lot of things that are going to just provide us with temporal satisfaction over God, who's going to provide us with eternal satisfaction. We have that everlasting joy where we walk around with smiles on our face and we're willing to live and love and laugh, and not doing it because it's pretentious, not doing it because we know that this moment is fleeting, but because, man, this is what is really in us and it has to come out. Real lovers, are you guys enjoying this discussion with my man Calvin? I hope that you are. I hope some of your questions in regards to hearing and discerning God's voice are being answered. We ain't even done yet. Me and Calvin got so much more that we're going to get into. But before we jet today, I do want to share with you all a kingdom principle. This one is coming out of Psalm, and I'm going to be reading chapter 46, verse number 10a out of the NIV version. Here's what it states, y'all. Be still and know that I am God. Real lovers, man, oh man, not a very long sentence, not very many words, but it is packed full of power and some principles that can change our lives if we apply and implement them in our lives. Most people I know, especially those who are kingdom citizens, those who are professing Christians, they have a desire to hear God's voice. Well, we have to realize that with that desire to hear God's voice comes a requirement for us to be still. We have to still ourselves in order to hear God's voice. If we want to be able to hear God's voice, we need to still ourselves. We need to be quiet. We need to get in a place where we can listen. Now, I want to be honest right here. This is something I really struggle with. This is something that over the past month or two, God has really been impressing on my heart that I personally need to get better at. And nearly every person who has asked me over the past few weeks what they can pray for me about, I've just been asking them to pray that this is a struggle that I overcome, that I come to a place where I'm able to get quiet before God and not need something, whether it is reading the word, music and worship, or something to distract my attention from really being able to hear him. I want to be able to just sit still, be quiet, and listen to God. That's something that I struggle with. Maybe you can relate, maybe you can't, but I just want to encourage you. Being still before God is something that will take some practice. It's something that will definitely take some time. But from what I've heard and what I believe is that God is going to faithfully reward those who do take the effort, or I should say make the effort, to be still and learn how to listen to him. Give it that time, give it that investment that is required to get to that point. I'm willing to do that, and I hope and pray that a lot of you out there are willing to do the same thing. Real lovers, the second piece of this kingdom principle is the fact that we have to get to know God. So it says, be still and know that I am God. The only way that you can know that he is God is if you've taken the time, once again, to invest in getting to know him. One of the things that comes to mind when it comes to hearing God's voice is that example that I've heard plenty of times with regards to being somewhere where there's a lot of people around and you get separated from your parents. There's this instinctive ability within us to be able to discern our parents' voice among the crowd. When they're screaming our name, they're trying to connect with us, we can hear our parents' voice. The same with the flip side. I've heard of parents giving the example of how they may have lost track of their child, or their child may be in a different room somewhere, and they can identify their baby's cry amongst the cry of other babies. Most people say, how is that possible? Is it just because of the fact that that's a mother and a child? I think it speaks to this principle here at hand. The reason we're able to know or distinguish the voice of a parent or the cry of a baby is because we know them. We know their voice. And the only way to know somebody's voice, to be able to distinguish or discern their voice, the same way that we want to do with God, is to spend a lot of time around that person, to become familiar with the tone and the inflection of that person's voice, to really know that person. Is the words that I hear this person saying something that I know my mother or my child would be saying? We have to get to know God, and that too requires an investment. The more we get to know God, the more we will be in a position to truly be able to discern and hear his voice, so that when we do invest in sitting still and being quiet, we'll be able to identify those thoughts that keep coming to mind as thoughts that are coming from the Spirit of God speaking to us, or thoughts that are not in alignment with God's word based on the fact that we know, hey, that right there, God wouldn't say that. Nah, I know his voice. I know him. He wouldn't say that. But that, yeah, he would say that. It's going to take time. It's going to take investment. That's something that many people, I believe, don't really want to hear. They just want God to just speak to them and it to be an immediate process. That's not always going to be the case. Even though God is always talking to us, the thing about it is, are we always listening? I don't think we are. I think God is always talking, but we aren't always listening because we aren't applying this principle. We're not being still, and we're not investing in knowing God so that we know that he is God, a God that speaks to the people that love him. We got to get still. We got to get to know God. And the only way to do that is to make an investment. Make an investment in God. Are you willing to do that? That's a question that only you can answer. That's everything I got for you guys today. I know it got a little deep there, but it's all love, y'all. It is all love. This is a serious topic. I know a lot of you take this topic to heart, and I just thank God for speaking to me and through me in order to deliver what he desires for you guys to know. So continue to follow God's lead, his instruction, and definitely make sure you guys come back and check out the next part. We're going to dive even deeper into hearing and discerning the voice of God. Until then, y'all, stay blessed, live, and love life. Thank God for another podcast. Deuces!